Gospel of John, chapter 1 again. Our text, technically speaking, will still be the prologue for the Gospel of John, which is verse 1 through 18. We have read that through. We have read that mostly through last week. For the sake of time and movement, I'd like us to read verse 6 through 15. Let that suffice as a text for the message the Lord's laid upon our heart. For the book of John, chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Our message this morning would be entitled, "The Preacher." The Preacher. Our first thought was the Word. Our second thought was the Light. Today's thought is the Preacher. The Preacher. In verse number 6 of our reading this morning, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not John the Beloved or the Apostle, but John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God. There was a man sent by God whose name was John. We know him to be John the Baptist. In the Old Testament, he would have been referred to as a prophet, as one of the prophets. Some describe him as the last of the Old Testament prophets. Some carry that word over into the New Testament. And there's nothing wrong with that. Some would say that he was the first of the New Testament prophets. Or as we're describing him, as we're seeing him this morning, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. And we're calling him the preacher. That's what the word prophet translates into as we consider these terms. John was a man sent from God to preach. And a lot of people don't think about John the Baptist as a preacher, but that's the principal function that John the Baptist held during the course of his lifetime. He was sent by God to preach, to proclaim, to tell the message of Jesus Christ, to reach the lost and to prepare a people for Jesus Christ. He most certainly can be called the preacher. The preacher. In verse number 7, it says, "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light." The light was Jesus. The light was Jesus. So this preacher in verse number 6 came to bear witness of the light, came to bear witness of Jesus. That was his mission. He wasn't sent to glorify himself. He wasn't sent to preach or proclaim himself. He wasn't sent to talk about himself. John the Baptist had no time for talking about himself. His testimony was not anything to do with him. His testimony had everything to do with Jesus. John didn't come to exalt himself or glorify himself. He came to preach Jesus. And that's the way we ought to live our lives. When we give our testimonies and we proclaim anything about what God has done for us, may Jesus be the focus. And may it not be self, or may it not be ourselves. There was a man sent from God, the preacher, man by the name of John. The same came to be a witness of the light, came to bear witness of Jesus. Second part of verse number 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. I would say this second half of verse number 7 speaks of opportunity. Speaks of opportunity. There was a man sent from God, a preacher by the name of John, John the Baptist. He came and he was sent to bear witness of Jesus, not himself. And he came to preach. He came to preach so that all men might have the opportunity to believe, to be saved. That is something that is still true today. God still has his preachers and God still has his word being preached, so that Jesus Christ might be lifted up and glorified and exalted. And he's having Jesus preached everywhere you look and you find it. And he's having Jesus preached everywhere that everyone might have opportunity to believe. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is affording you another opportunity to believe. The preacher is preaching. Irregardless of who it was, the preacher is preaching as John preached. He came to preach and be a witness of the light, which was Jesus Christ and is Jesus Christ, as we still do today. And he came to preach that all men might believe, that all men might have opportunity. There will be nobody be able to raise their hand to God and say, "I never heard. I was never told. I never had opportunity." There's nobody that'll ever be able to rail against their depravity and their wickedness and the sinfulness of their soul, the brokenness of their soul. None who will be able to say they didn't hear. All will hear. John the Baptist came to preach that all those that heard might have opportunity to believe. That all men through him might believe. That doesn't say every man, everyone is going to believe. But he came to be a witness that all men through him might believe, might have that opportunity. ask you and I plead with you this morning to put all your preconceived ideas and notions and thoughts aside. Ask yourself deep in your own heart, what keeps you? What prevents you right now, as you sit here on one of these pews, what prevents you from being saved? Oh, well, God, no. God has sent preachers over and over again through the centuries that all men might hear, that all men might have opportunity to believe. Well, the preacher, no, it's not about the preacher, because the preacher only has one message. It comes from God. Well, it can't be parents. It can't be this. It can't be that. It can't be anything. And again, this is not easy believism or Arminianism or anything else they want to label it as. But if you're here and you're lost, the only reason you're lost is yourself. You're the sin problem. You're the one who has sinned against God. You're the one who needs to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 8, he was not that light, capital L. John was not the light. Jesus was the light. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He came to preach repentance. He came to preach about sin. He came to show all men everywhere that would hear his message that all people have a sin problem. That includes you. That includes me. If you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, doesn't include me anymore, because I know the Lord is my Savior. But I'm still a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Sinner saved by grace. In all of the Gospels, the ministry of John is made clear. The message of John is made clear. It is repeated frequently in the Gospels. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. The Gospel of Luke chapter 3. Speaking of John in verse number 7 and 8, then said he, that he is John the Baptist, then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within thyself, yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He spoke unto the multitudes, and he called them vipers, snakes, poisonous vipers. And they came out to John to see. They came out to John, many of them, to be baptized. It was the thing to do. And like my pattern is, and I hope the pattern of this church will always be, John didn't get in any hurry to baptize somebody. When you get into the subject of baptism, I have a tendency to tap the brakes. Make sure somebody understands what baptism is all about. Make sure they understand what this church believes. And the commitment and the responsibility and the obligation that is a part of that. And John didn't care how many he drove away. He called them to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, evidence of repentance. In verse number 18, and many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. See, he was a preacher. Many other things in his exhortation preached John unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Towards the end of his short ministry, John finds himself imprisoned. Why was he imprisoned? Because he preached the truth. Why was he imprisoned? Because he preached about sin. Why was he imprisoned? Because he wasn't worried about being politically correct or flattering people. He told people like it was. Everybody has a sin problem without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as I said, in all of the Gospels, you find these records. He preached unto the people. Herod the Tetrarch was reproved by him. Reproved by him because he had taken Herodias. Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, to be his woman. And Herodias didn't like that. Herodias didn't like the preaching of John. And so Herod had John put in prison to please his woman. And it says there in verse number 19, but Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, not just for that, but for all the evils which Herod had done. John had preached against the sin that Herod and Herodias were involved in. John preached against all the evils that Herod was guilty of. And to that relationship they were in and all the evils that he was guilty of, Herod added to that, put on top of all that, he had John put in prison. Mark 1, 4 through 7, Matthew 3, 1 through 9, similar passages of Scripture. John came and John was sent to preach repentance to all because all have sinned. No exception here this morning. He came to preach repentance to all because all must repent and believe in order to be saved. There's no other way. There's no other option. He came to preach repentance to all because all must hear the message of salvation and they must repent and believe. That's why he came to preach. That's why he preached repentance. John was not popular with the religious crowd. He was not popular with the Pharisees. He was not popular with Herod or Herodias. Herodias so hated John when she had opportunity. She encouraged her daughter. I hate this guy, so you've got to hate him too. And what I want you to do is ask Herod to have John the Baptist beheaded. And when Herod had promised Herodias, his daughter, I'll give you anything you want, gave his word and pledge, being coached by her mother, she asked for John the Baptist's head on a platter. And because he had given his word, John the Baptist lost his head. At the request of Herodias, his daughter, who danced the sinful, lustful dance before Herod and was coached by her mother to ask for John's head, what a sad way for the preacher to end his ministry. But see, it's only sad to us. Being called upon to suffer as he did and to die the death that he did was for the honor and glory of God. And I believe he gladly yielded himself to this. God was honored and glorified. The Savior that he came to preach was glorified. And in all the ugliness of the human act, you see the wonderful grace of Jesus. The wonderful grace of Jesus. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. He was the preacher. The same came to bear witness of the light. The light was Jesus. He came to preach that all men might believe, that all men might have opportunity to believe in Jesus. They had to first hear. He came to preach repentance to all, because all have sinned and all must repent and all must hear and believe in Jesus Christ, because all are sinners. And I don't believe you can claim to be saved if the slightest percentage of your faith is in yourself, in your works. 99% of me believes it was all of grace, and then that 1% means you're still damned. But I'm a pretty good person. I go to church. I do this, I do that. You're lost. He came to preach repentance to all. And you know what Jesus called John? Jesus called John in Matthew chapter 11 the greatest among all men born to a woman. That passage says other things, and we can't belabor the point and make any kind of exhaustive search. But Jesus said the greatest preacher that ever was. People want to argue about who was the greatest preacher. Paul? Peter? Well, could it be John the Baptist? What did Jesus Christ say there in Matthew 11? Why in the world did Jesus himself, John was sent from God to bear witness of the light, which was Christ, to preach that all men might have opportunity to believe. He preached repentance to all, that all might see themselves as a sinner and be saved. John preached Jesus, and he preached Jesus, and he preached Jesus. And Jesus turned right around and called him the greatest, maybe the greatest preacher there ever was. Study the life of John the Baptist. He came to preach concerning Jesus Christ, who was promised and prophesied concerning all through the Old Testament. Why did Jesus call him the greatest among men? It may have something to do with the fact that John himself was promised and prophesied in the Old Testament before the New Testament age ever opened. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Back in our text, John 1, verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Christ called him the greatest. Maybe because he was promised and prophesied so long ago before in the Old Testament. Maybe he's called the greatest because in verse number 6 it tells us specifically John was sent from God. Sent from God. Could have something to do with the fact that John the Baptist is a bridge between the Old and the New Testament. When the book of Malachi came to an end, we find ushered in before us the 400 years of silence. 400 years God was not heard from till John. John came and he bridged the Old Testament and the New Testament. He preached Christ and he preached about grace and truth. Luke chapter 1, verse 14 through 17. Explain this for me. John was filled, I believe, the only person at this time who it was said, John was filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit. If that's not a mouthful, he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. I believe it's John who we're told when the two mothers met of John the Baptist and Jesus, John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. I don't know about all this stuff. I don't claim to. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Some interpret that as saying he was saved while he was yet in his mother. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. Another reason why he might be called great, because both of his parents, both mother and father, were too old to have children anymore. We see that when we think about Abraham and Sarah. We read in the Gospels that both of his parents were faithful in the service and the priesthood of the Lord's house. And they were both past the age of having children, meaning it was a miraculous thing that John was conceived and brought forth. So there was a man sent from God whose name was John, the preacher. The same came to bear witness of the light. The light was Jesus. He came to preach that all men might believe, that all men might have the opportunity. And everybody that has ever preached since John to this present hour is so that men might have opportunity to believe. He came to preach repentance to all because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and all need to repent and believe and be saved. John was called this preacher that we're looking at. The preacher of our text was called by Jesus Christ, the greatest born among men. John believed his message. We see in the words of John in this first chapter of John that he believed Christ was divine. He believed Christ was life. He believed Christ was the light. John chapter 1, verse number 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him. Keep all this stuff connected, if you would. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist, the preacher. The same came to bear witness, of the light, which was Jesus, came to bear witness of Jesus, point people to Jesus, that all men might have opportunity to be saved. John came to preach repentance to all because all need to repent and believe in order to be saved. This is not my opinion. This is the Word of God. In order to be saved, now I don't care who you are here tonight or this morning, you'll never be saved unless you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must hear the preaching of the preacher and not take issue with the preacher, but hear the message. The preacher preached repentance to all because all have sinned and come short. All must repent and believe. All must hear the message. All these things are a part of every salvation. The gospel must be preached. The gospel must be heard. The gospel must be made effective. You must hear, you must believe, you must repent in order to be saved. Where do you stand today? The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him. John said, can you hear him? Hearing all of the things that John the preacher was sent to say and to do. The next day he saw Jesus and he took that opportunity to say, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. He was the preacher sent to bear witness of the light, which was Jesus. He came to preach that all men might believe and have opportunity. He came to preach repentance to all because all are sinners. And the very next day he sees Jesus. And with everybody's attention upon him, he says, behold the Lamb of God. He's the Word. He's the life. He's the light. He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb. How many times have you heard the preacher say, or a preacher say, this preacher or that preacher? How many times have you heard it, my friend? Behold Jesus as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Why hasn't he taken away your sin? Because you haven't heard. It hasn't been made effectual upon you. You haven't believed. But all that can change this morning. Hear the preacher saying, "Behold, Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," in verse number 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God," exclamation. Behold, the Lamb of God. He was the Word, he was the light, he was the Lamb. John was just a preacher. The principal thing was Jesus, who came to take away the sins of the world. Are you saved this morning? "I'm never going to be saved." Well, let's just ask yourself, why do you say such a thing? What human excuse? Herodias probably had her excuses. Her daughter probably had her excuses. Herod probably had his excuses. And all of those Pharisees who rejected the message of John had all their excuses. And they didn't amount to anything. Your excuse doesn't either. Behold the Lamb of God. Wilt thou be saved? As we're gathered here and we bring this service to a close, wilt thou be saved? Then I ask you, as I may be do frequently, in the words of that song, and why not tonight? Apply it to the present hour. Wilt thou be saved? And why, oh why not now? Behold the Lamb. Let's stand together.